Good afternoon, I'm Linda Dow. It's always a pleasure to welcome award-winning broadcast journalist, author, and storyteller Mary Cook. Mary has delighted audiences for more than 50 years with stories of her childhood in the 1930s. She has 12 best-selling books, and she continues to produce a weekly column in our local newspaper. We're happy that she could join us today, and of course, it wouldn't seem like Christmas without a visit from her. So, hello, Mary.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking the time today. You know, I know it's such a busy time of year, so we do really appreciate it, Mary.
Well, it's busy for everybody, and it seems to get more hectic every year, and I have to stop and wonder what happened to the simple joys of Christmas.
Right.
Where did they go? What happened?
Okay, well, you're here to tell us all about that. But first, I wanted to ask you a couple of things. How is life at Waterside? Are you playing bridge?
I'm playing bridge on the computer.
Oh.
Because there are two or three people here who play in a little group, and they're a lot better players than I am. So I play here on the computer, and my old bridge club that I've played in for over 30 years, we've lost a member, and I'm not sure that we're going to get back to playing. COVID had a terrible effect on all sorts of activities, including our bridge club. We had to go on pause, of course, and a lot of people felt they didn't want to get back to that. It's hectic. But I am playing euchre. We play euchre every Friday up at Watson's Corners.
Goodness, that's nice.
Oh, and we love it. We just love the people, the salt of the earth people.
Mm-hmm.
And as Wally said, these are the kind of people who built our country.
All right.
We thoroughly enjoy it. And I get rotten cards, and I blame them on that. But I love it. We just love it.
Oh, that's great, Mary. It's nice to have something like that to do on a weekly basis as well,
right.
Isn't it, eh?
Now, we're on pause until after the new year, of
right,
course.
Right, right.
As so many other things. But Waterside has gone overboard to make this a very festive season. The decorations are absolutely spectacular. They have immense trees decorated literally in every corner of the building, and it brings such joy to a lot of us, and especially to the people who can't get out. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people here who are really confined because of the distance they are from relatives, or some of them are here, believe it or not, who don't have relatives, and you know that's sad. That's
right,
sad.
So that community is really nice for everyone.
It's wonderful,
yeah.
Linda.
Right.
It's wonderful.
You know, Mary, I wanted to wish you a belated, you and Wally, congratulations on your 70th
yes,
wedding anniversary.
70th. Isn't that amazing?
It is. What's your secret to getting along together all those years?
I think if I had one thing to say about a long marriage is never go to bed mad.
I've heard that.
Never go to bed mad. Argue if you have a little scrap, you know, marriages do, although we were very lucky and we agreed on just about everything. But early in our marriage, we decided if we had a little scrap before bedtime or that day,
mm-hmm.
we never went to bed mad at each other.
Oh.
And so you get up in a very different attitude if you go to bed happy.
It's a fresh day then, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That's right. Yes, it's been 70 years, and we're very compatible and have a lot in common. And we've got three wonderful children and five grandchildren and four great-grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness, that's lovely. And, you know, it's very nice to still have each other all through
yes.
those years.
And I think the blessing is that although our bodies are in many ways physically spent, our minds are just as sharp as ever.
That's the main
thing.
And
for that, I'm eternally grateful.
Yes.
Because Wally spends a lot of time reading and loves to discuss politics and is extremely active mentally. And for that, I'm very grateful.
And you are as well, and that's incredible.
Yep, it's startling because there's so many people in Waterside that need help with the simplest of mental chores, and that's sad. But it happens. It happens, you know.
Right.
But it doesn't lessen the joy of Christmas, you know.
Well, you know, speaking about Christmas, your book Christmas with Mary Cook has wonderful stories that take us back to simpler times, and I'm just wondering, what are some of your most vivid memories of Christmas when you were a little girl growing up on the farm in Renfrew County?
I'm not sure if this is something we can discuss because I'm not sure how young our listening audience is, but I can remember when I found out who Santa Claus was. And if you want me to tell that story, I will. But it was such a revelation for me because I was so sure that Santa Claus, you know, I knew he couldn't come down the chimney because we had a stovepipe. But nonetheless, one year, my mother took terribly sick the week before Christmas and had to go into the Renfrew Hospital and have major surgery. And so Audrey and my father were getting Christmas ready. And on Christmas Eve, of course, I went to bed, as always. And I wakened, and I could hear Father and Audrey in the kitchen, and I could hear scrunching around, and I thought, what's that? So I sneaked downstairs, and before I'd gone to bed, I put a little plate of cookies and a glass of milk on the kitchen table.
For Santa Claus?
For Santa Claus. Yeah. And when I pushed the curtain back on the stairs,
yes,
there was Father wrapping presents and my sister Audrey sitting on a chair drinking the milk and eating the cookies.
Oh, no.
So that was the year of revelation, as I call it.
How old were you then?
I was probably 5 or 6.
Oh, gosh.
So I was young.
Right.
But I never let on. I never
oh,
let
you
on
didn't.
That I knew what was going on.
How kind of you.
Well, I didn't want to. It was a sad Christmas because our mother was in the hospital.
Yes, right.
And terribly ill, and we weren't sure she was even going to come out. So I didn't realize at that young age the enormity of the situation. But when she wasn't there for Christmas morning, I knew that things were not the same.
Right.
And what I missed most, and I remember this so clearly, was we always had a turkey. And my father always wanted a goose, and I hated goose. But anyway, that Christmas, all we had was the goose. We didn't have the turkey, and that was a real revelation to me. But there seemed to be just as many presents under the tree, for which I was selfishly grateful. And some of the things that we always got at Christmas time, of course, was homemade gifts. You know, there was always homemade mitts and scarves and toques. And I can remember one year that Aunt Lizzie from Regina sent my mother $5. And that was for a dollar for each of us children.
That was a lot in those days.
It was. And it was the instructions were that dollar had to buy 4 Christmas presents and if anything left over for mother and father. And I can remember going into the dime store, and you know what I bought my father?
What?
It was 10 cents, one of those ugly navy blue handkerchiefs that farmers wore in their pocket. And he was thrilled that he had a new navy blue, and they were figured, you know.
He was thrilled with that.
Yeah, and then over in Ritz's drugstore, they had a basket that sat just inside the door.
Right.
And it was grab bags.
Oh,
and
that'd be fun.
Yeah, they were great, and they were 20 cents.
Mm.
And I felt them all, and of course you couldn't tell what was inside.
Right.
And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful that I could get this for my sister Audrey, and wouldn't it be wonderful if it was a bottle of Evening in Paris perfume, which was just the rage then.
Right.
And Aunt Lizzie wore Evening in Paris, and I thought, that feels like a bottle of perfume. So I bought it for my sister Audrey.
And what was it?
It was a bottle of pills, Lydia Pinkham's Pink Pills for Pale People. I couldn't believe it, and she was so mad because she thought I felt that she needed them. So we took them out and we put them in the big trough where the water was
right.
for the cows, and the cows got the Lydia Pinkham's Pink Pills for Pale People.
Pink pills for pale people.
Yeah. Oh, and it was
Mary.
It was quite a doctor, a medicine back in those days.
Right. Yeah. So now you've now spent 30 cents. What did you spend the other 70 cents?
You know, all I remember is buying, and I mentioned this in one of my stories, and I'm not sure if it's coming up or has been printed. You used to be able to buy a cluster, I call them, of suckers. And they were wrapped in paper that you could see through.
Yes.
Because there's no plastic in those days. And then tied with elastic. And my brother Emerson, and they were a nickel for these five suckers. And my Emerson loved the butterscotch ones.
Right.
And that year he got a cluster of suckers for Christmas for me.
Oh, boy. And that would be a big treat, I guess, candy.
Oh, right? Definitely. And, of course, then we had to sit down and write to Aunt Lizzie and thank her for this generous gift.
Right. Right for the dollar per child.
Yeah, imagine. But the today, you know, money is so scarce this year for everybody.
Yes.
And I think that we're all having to cut back. But there is no reason to cut out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to spend a dollar. What you can do is send a hello. I have made a rule today that I'm going to phone two people
Lovely.
Every day from now until New Year's.
Very nice.
Of people that I don't normally talk to. And I've already talked to two today. Dear friends that we normally don't speak that often. And so I said hello to Carol, whose birthday is today, and I normally don't phone her. And I said hello to Isabel, and tomorrow I've got two more people that I'm going to phone. So that's a gift anybody can give, and especially if you can connect with somebody who's terribly lonely.
Right.
I don't think anybody realizes until they move into a place like Waterside or Lanark Lodge or Carolina Court, how many lonely people there are, Linda.
Right.
So many lonely people.
Well, you've made two of them happy today, and you've made us very happy by speaking with us.
We had a wonderful visit on the phone.
That's lovely. What a beautiful gift that is, and it lasts for a long time.
The other thing you can do, too, if you're living in your own home and have your own facilities, but you know somebody, you know, in town or out of town, close by,
yes,
who maybe isn't quite able to put things together, bake some cookies or a little casserole that they can put in the freezer. There's nothing more enjoyable to a senior alone than getting something from somebody that they can put in their mouth.
Right.
So those are the things, you know, send a treat to a shut-in. And something a lot of us don't do, and I do because I'm such a nosy person. I was in a store a couple of weeks ago, and believe me, that's a challenge because I'm either with my walker or my cane. And this woman stood at the counter, and I couldn't get over the beautiful coat she had on. So I said to her, "I love your coat." "Oh," she said, "I'm so glad you said that because my husband hates it." But I made her day.
Yes.
If you see something on someone that you think is special, tell them about it. They don't have to be somebody you know.
Right.
You know, a total stranger loves to hear a compliment, and it can be the most simple thing.
A little bit of that goes a long way, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, right? Definitely.
You know, Mary, Christmas is not always a happy time for many people. And, you know, we get caught up in all the trappings, like getting in debt, buying more stuff that people don't need. How do we keep, you know, that spirit of Christmas alive? And you've just mentioned a few things, but still actually, you know, hold on to those traditional things that we love so much at this time of year?
Well, I think it's difficult because Christmas has changed. It's a commercial thing now. Commercialism has crept in to our joy of Christmas. And I think that's a terrible thing that has happened to Christmas. We've become so caught up in the commercial side of Christmas that we've really forgotten the true meaning. You know, we're celebrating the wrong things, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
We're not celebrating what Christmas really means. I'm as big an offender as anybody else.
What does it mean to you?
Well, of course, Christmas has a special meaning to me, and it's sad, because I lost my mother on Christmas morning in 1971. She was perfectly healthy, and she just dropped in front of me.
Oh, Mary.
And so Christmas is never the same for
me.
No,
it wouldn't be.
Never, never the same.
No.
And I'll never forget it, because it was the worst snowstorm we'd had in years. And I'll never forget that Christmas. And that was in 1971, and she was only 73.
Oh, dear.
So Christmas is bittersweet to me.
Yes.
But my children were very young, and she would not want me to take the joy of Christmas away from them. Although for the next several years, it was extremely difficult for me to find any joy. And I have come full circle now, because as well as enjoying my precious, precious great-grandchildren,
yes,
I think I have reverted back to realizing the joy, the true joy of what Christmas means. Christmas, I'm a spiritual person to begin with. It means, my faith means a lot to me. So in all of my preparations, I try to keep in my heart and in my soul the true meaning of Christmas. And that gets me through from one Christmas to another.
Oh, right. Mary, in your book, Reflections, The Best Job in the World, you write a really nice piece about gifts that endure. And I'm just wondering if you could maybe talk a little bit about a couple of those gifts. Say, let's take consideration and gratitude, for instance.
Well, gratitude, I think many of us don't appreciate the things that are around us that help with our survival from one day to another. And one thing that, because I've just gone through some medical tests that weren't what I liked, I think gratitude today should include the doctor that keeps your feet on the right side of the grass. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my doctor. And certainly she has saved Wally's life 3 times. We don't appreciate, I feel, the things that come with no cost. Our doctors, the people who clean our streets, the people who fill the shelves at the grocery stores, the people who will drive us from one place to another if we have no ability to get there. The simple, simple things that we take for granted, and we don't appreciate them. And if I have a message at all this year to our listeners, it would be to just sit back for a minute. If you have to write them down, do it, but I don't think you'll have to. I think if you close your mind to other things and think of the things that you have around you that haven't cost you anything but have brought you comfort and joy, and they're all around you, you know. And I've always said, Linda, that in our midst there are heroes. There are heroes in our country, in our town, in our neighborhood, heroes that are unsung. You don't know them. They're there, and they enrich the lives of others, and they could be the man next door, they could be the woman in the grocery store. But our country is full of heroes, and they're unsung. And I think every year of that I'm here for this longevity, good old age, simply because people cared enough to keep me here. And for that, I'm eternally grateful.
That's lovely, and I think that's a lovely place to end it, Mary.
And let me just wish everyone a happy Christmas. I know there are people who've recently, within days, have lost loved ones. My heart goes out to them. Remember the good times. And for those who are going into this carefree, try to think of the true meaning of Christmas, and it'll bring you joy. Happy Christmas, everybody, and much love and joy to you, Linda.
Mary, thanks so much. It's always such a treat to speak with you, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from everyone here at Lake 88 as well.
Thank you. Thank
Take
you
care,
so
and stay well, and Merry Christmas to Wally as well from all of us here.
I'll pass it on. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Mary. Bye-bye. Thanks to Mary Cook for sharing her Christmas memories with us. I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening, and have a safe and happy holiday season.